Reunion here, I mentioned before, for some of us who belong to a youth group 40 years on, and I was talking to one of the lads I used to know and stay in his home quite a bit, and he was sort of saying, how are things in your church and what's happening? And I was reflecting with him that actually, for some of us, as we get a bit older, I'm 65 now, we've seen a bit and done a bit. I've been saved around about 40 odd years, and probably in ministry 35 of those. I've seen churches of different ilks. Some of you will know, and I've shared, I was brought up as a Roman Catholic. My parents are Irish. At one stage, when I was at primary school, I was taught by nuns. Not very nice people, actually, or the ones that taught me weren't. And then later in life, when I moved to Nottingham, I spent a couple of years running a family centre, which was basically a community centre tied to an Anglican church, and I was part of that Anglican community. So I've seen sort of quite a spectrum of different things. Catholics, Anglicans, Baptists, Pentecostals. I've seen quite a bit. And one of the things I think we would say as the leadership here that we're particularly strong on, I was thinking as I was sat down this morning, three things really, it won't be any surprise. We're very committed to believing the Holy Spirit lives and works in this day and age. He hasn't stopped. He's still working. We're very committed to the Word of God. We would like to believe and think we are a Bible-based church in the way we operate. And we're very committed to prayer. And in a sense, I'll talk about those three things. I'm going to read from the book of Acts. It's quite a long number of verses, so please bear with me. Acts 4, 23 to 31. In the NIV at the top of this, it's entitled, The Believers Pray, is what they put the title. Says this, verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. It's a fantastic chapter, one I've been carrying around for a number of weeks, thinking at some point I'll speak about that. This is the some point. Just for those of you perhaps who are not as familiar with the Bible as others, I'll give you a little bit of background. This is from a book we call the Book of Acts, but actually its full title is The Acts of the Apostles. It focuses on the emergence of the church after the death of Jesus. And really, if you read it in any sense, it's 28 chapters. The first half centers on one apostle in particular, Peter. If you read it, it's really focused on Peter. The second half focuses on the Apostle Paul. So, and you'll know just in passing, I'll mention it in case you don't know, there are two different types of apostles. There are those that actually were with Jesus and saw him crucified and resurrected, and others that came after that are also called apostles, people like Saul and Barnabas, Paul, who weren't actually there. So different type. It covers about 30 years, this book. It's written by Luke, who's the author of the Gospel. Probably, and I'm guessing, don't pin me down to this, but it's probably round about 35 AD to 65 AD, something like that. That's the sort of time scale it covers. I've got a feeling it's Nero's impost at some point in there. Okay, so we're in chapter 4, just to give you a bit of background. Chapter 1, that the apostles and those following Jesus are told, wait in Jerusalem until you have the Spirit, till the Spirit is given. I think the old authorized version used the language tarry. Tarry until the Spirit is given. Wait is basically what it means. Acts chapter 2, that event actually happens. They are all filled with the Spirit, and I think I've put in my notes, they share about Jesus. We would say maybe modern day preach, but actually what they're doing is sharing the story of Jesus. Mark sat here on the front as our senior minister. I don't know what we'd do if after Mark preached, 3,000 people got saved. Don't know where we'd put them. Panic, he says. But that's what happened, isn't it? According to the word, they were filled with the Spirit, they shared the good news, and about 3,000 people, it says, so it could have been more, were added. Imagine the chaos in them services there. But actually, again, an aside, they didn't have their own church buildings for about 150 years after this. They used to meet in the temple. Chapter 3, Peter and John were going down to the temple, brackets, as was their custom, set hours to pray. There's a guy there asking for money, basically. Give me some, give me alms. And they say, we haven't got any gold or silver, but such as we have in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. This man gets up and walks. If you read the account, it says he was lame from birth. He must have been a permanent feature. People passed him every time they went. Oh, there's that guy again. Yeah, can have a bit of money. And because of this, we're now into the first part of chapter 4, the official ruling council, the elders, the Sanhedrin, decided perhaps they ought to hold these people in because they were talking about this very odd guy called Jesus. Peter and John were saying, we didn't do this, we did it in the name of Jesus. His power has caused this man. I think the AV says, it's a great phrase, leaping and dancing and praising God is how it describes the guy. You would be, wouldn't you? Lame from birth, somebody comes along and goes, receive this, you can walk. Imagine that. So here we are in chapter 4. They've been put in prison overnight. I don't know if we've got anyone here. Sadly, I have to confess, I've been in prison overnight. When I was a naughty boy back in the day, got arrested by the police and put in Bootle Street. It was a nice evening. It's true. Some of us up here, you think we're all saints, but actually, my past is not particularly saintly, not something I'm proud of. But actually, God has taken me out of that and brought me here. But I know what it's like to be in prison overnight. They were in prison overnight. Peter and John in jail overnight. And yet, we're told afterwards, this is what happened. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. So I said we believe in prayer. I want to say to you, this is this passage. The first thing they do when Peter and John are released, their first response is prayer. Isn't that great? Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. Now, I don't know what your theology is or your understanding about prayer, and I'm not going to hopefully tread on anyone's toes, but notice it says here they actually raise their voices. So although we can say you can pray quietly in your heart, and you can, generally speaking, the Bible records people praying out loud, if you want to put it like that. And we often say about the Bible, we're trying to be practical here, church experience, often people like Bible study, deep theology. I think theology is something that should work. It should work in your practical life, otherwise it probably doesn't do anything. The Bible's a book written so it might do something within us and change us. That's how we should respond. And here, they lifted their voices and prayed. So their first response, having been arrested, put in prison, and said, if you start sharing this stuff again about Jesus, you're going to be in trouble. I imagine if it was me, I have to confess my cowardice now, I would have run 1,000 miles. I would have moved cities. I don't particularly fancy being arrested again. When you're in prison, in jail, overnight, you're thinking about the morning. What's going to happen? What are they going to do? Am I going to get charged? Are they going to get taken to court? Am I going to get sent away? What's going to happen? I don't know. Because you're there overnight. I think they do it deliberately. Make your mind play games. Peter and John come back, pray. Perhaps they could have left the area. What's our first response when we hit trouble? We've had a traumatic week in our household this week. Some of you will know, some of you won't. Liam was here last week and announced the birth of baby Tommy. But Tommy was born prematurely, a number of weeks early, and that's always a concern. Premature babies, will they develop properly? It's only just yesterday Bethany's been able to take Tommy home, which is great. Tommy's at home. And also this week on Thursday, ambulance call, Sue's brother Martin rushed into hospital, still in hospital in Tameside, doing tests, all sorts of stuff going on. Of course, that doesn't happen to us Christians, does it, that stuff? God shields us from all that, doesn't he? No, he doesn't. If that's the gospel you've heard, it's the wrong one, because it isn't what the Bible teaches. Those scriptures we don't like, we don't preach on, Mark, you know. In this world, you will have trouble. Yeah, thanks for that. Consider it pure joy when you go through all sorts of temptations. Thanks, James, yeah. Thanks for that one, I like that. I quote that a lot, yeah. The bits we don't like, but they're there in the book. You've heard me say it before. My principal at Bible College, David Petch, used to say, the book, the whole book, and nothing but the book. So all of it, we've got to take all of it. We can't just choose. Maybe they should have took on board, they needed to be quiet about speaking about Jesus. Oh, we've had our knuckles wrapped, and if we start again, so that's a bit of a pressure, isn't it? We've got some countries in the world now where if you speak the name of Jesus, you will face persecution. We have lots of underground movements of churches meeting at a peril. We should be thankful in this nation we are free to meet this morning and praise God. Sometimes we just take it for granted, we turn up. But if you lived in a nation where to own a Bible would get you arrested, it'd be different. We're told we should pray. We say this, and hopefully I'm helping some people here. Why should we pray? Well, the Bible tells us we should always pray. 1 Timothy 2:8. I don't know if you've got that on there, Cain. I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. The psalmist says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Him with clean hands and a pure heart. In other words, hands speak about actions and the heart speaks about motive and thoughts. Our thoughts often get us into trouble. Our thoughts cause our hands, our actions to come. We should pray because we want God to direct us, shouldn't we? What do you want for me? What should I be doing? We should pray, and thinking about our vision, to check out our actions and reactions. You know, when that woman pushed in front of me in the queue at Morrison's, what was my reaction like? She does that again, she'd be in trouble. You know, when you're waiting at the traffic lights and somebody whizzes through on red and you nearly hit them. And you bless them in the name of the Lord, don't you? I nearly hit someone the other day at the roundabout as I turned right. A guy came through on a car and I'm thinking, I've indicated right, I'm halfway over. I'm going to go into you if I'm not. Brakes on, everything, and he's away up the road. And I think my response wasn't great. And we need to check out in prayer, God, I'm sorry, that was a wrong response. Of course, you know, it's very rare I do that. No. Happens a lot. Their response was prayer. They've been hauled in. What a thing. Their next response was to go to the Bible. This is what we're teaching practically. If you want solutions to your issues, one is we believe in prayer. God answers, and I'll show you that as we look at. And we believe in the Word of God. Lots of answers in there. They quote, note this, they quote Psalm chapter 2. The people after me, I love the Psalms. Two things I want you to pick up on here. They knew their Bible and they quoted it. They only had the Old Testament. Obviously, they didn't have the New Testament in those days. Those of you who don't know, the Bible is split into two parts. What we call the Old Testament is really a story about the nation of Israel emerging and God doing stuff with them. And the New Testament, which is really the story of the emergence of God on earth in the form of Jesus. So we've got two different books. They quoted from one of the Psalms in the Old Testament. Wow. It's a great ability to be able to quote Scripture. And sometimes when you're struggling, you need to quote the Word to give you a little bit of strength and say, it's not just me, this is what the Bible says. Because sometimes, if you're like me, my mind runs all over the place and I think, am I making that up or what? I sit there sometimes thinking, is that really a Scripture? Have I made that up? And I have to check it out. Is it there? It's not a bad thing to check it out. You've heard me say it lots of times. I'll say it again. A psalm a day helps you work, rest, and pray. Used to be a Mars a day. Helps you work, rest, and play. But I've just changed it because I'm like that. They knew their Bible. Do you read it? Do you struggle with it? Have you started? Where are you at? Are you on a regular visit to it? Or is it something that's on the shelf gathering dust? It's a good thing to read the Bible. They applied it to the situation they were in. This is probably even more important. Not just a story, but actually something they can respond to and say, this is for my situation now. So I'm looking at the moment, how can I apply what I believe and know to the situation I'm in with Bethany and Tommy, with Martin, with Sue who's struggling, who's probably not had enough sleep and is at home this morning and sometimes is apt to burst into tears, and as a husband you're sort of thinking, what can I do? What do I do? How do I cope with that? What should I do? What's my response? I've got to find solutions in prayer and in the Word. Don't get me wrong, it ain't easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying this is what we should do. They understood the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is a key. Says this, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, David. In other words, not just pretty little verses of poetry in the Psalms. No, the Holy Spirit inspired David to write that stuff. You've got to believe the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, by God, otherwise it's just another book. If it's just another book, go and read Shakespeare. Welcome to it. We're saying it's not just another book, it's inspired by God. God speaking to us through words written down. I'm sure you understand, but for those perhaps it'll just help. Think back to the time we're in, they didn't have iPhones. Wow, that's a surprise, isn't it? No Facebook, no computers, no phones, no postal system. No printing press wasn't invented till 15-something, no, probably 1470-odd, Gutenberg in Germany. No printing press. Things were written by hand. If you wanted a message delivered to someone, you had to give them a letter and say, take this with you, Luke, when you go in, will you? And pass it on to someone. That's the way it worked. They understood the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's useful for our correction, inspiration, it's useful, something to go to. Okay, so far? Their first response was prayer, their next response was the Bible. Their third response, this is probably where I start, was to ask for help. They said, I'll get to it, I love this bit. Now, Lord, consider their threats. And here it is, enable your servants to run away. No. Enable your servants to speak your word with boldness. In other words, help us to do what they've told us not to do. Don't preach that stuff anymore. Don't mention the name of Jesus. Give us boldness. Sometimes what we need in our day and age when people are saying, shut up, sit down, we need boldness to say, no, I'm going to say where I'm at. It's getting increasingly rare that there are any absolutes at all these days. You're not allowed to say that's right and that's wrong. Ooh, have to be politically correct. I'd like to be biblically correct before I'm politically correct. My understanding of the Bible is quite equality and diversity. I have to do every year. It's Michael's fault at the back there. As a foster carer, I've got to do training. But actually, the Bible's inclusive. It's for the whosoever. Irrespective of gender, irrespective of belief, colour. The Bible knew all about equality before the policies got written. But we're so hung up these days on PC stuff. I better not get going. Now, Lord, consider their threats. Speak your word. Give us ability to speak your word. People often talk to me. If you're up here at the front, sometimes people can say, oh, it's really easy, isn't it, that? No. No. Because what we're trying to do is have a balance between being humble and understanding it's God's grace and yet at the same time sharing God's word. I want the ability to speak God's word, not my word. And some of us will spend hours, weeks, months for 15, 20 minutes up here. Simply to speak God's word. Give us boldness. That's the thing, isn't it? Imagine. Boldness. I don't know how often. I hope you hear me right. I don't mean the old way of evangelism, quoting John 3:16 at everyone, hitting them on the head with the Bible. But actually, there are times and situations where something opens and you can share something of your own testimony and your own journey that will impact people. Why are you like that? Well, I'm a Christian and I believe stuff. That phrase on its own is enough to open a conversation. Or are you embarrassed about your faith? I hope you're not. He has called us out of darkness to declare his praise, Peter says. In fact, we can say to people, some of us get alongside, I was like you once, I used to do that. But my life's changed. How have you managed that then? Well, I have this faith. That's how the journey goes. Show miracles to confirm you're with us. That's what they're asking for. Give us the ability to speak your word. Give us boldness and perform signs and wonders. Notice the Bible's always very specific when it uses words. Signs and wonders, things that point to stuff. Signs point you to stuff and wonders cause people to stop and wonder. That's what it's about. We want to see more of the supernatural, don't we? Because that's what's going to hit people. Wow, how's that happened? What's going on there? I say this, and you're always hesitant, but I think you've got to preach the word. We've got to believe God's going to break in with signs and wonders. We've got to believe. Otherwise, what we're teaching and what we're saying is, it's not for today, and I don't believe that. Either God's the same, or I've missed something somewhere. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. That's what the Bible says. In you and I is the potential to unleash all sorts of stuff through God. Not us, through him. Remember the stories Rod told us about, where was he? In some restaurant somewhere praying for people. Nando's, was it? People were saying, I've got this bad back, and he's praying for them. And they're saying, it feels much better. And you're like, wow. Only went in for some nachos. Wherever we are, we need to be mindful the Holy Spirit's in us. Last. Their first response was prayer. Their next response was the Bible. Their third response was to ask for help. And guess what? God's response was fantastic. The place where they were meeting was shaken. Don't know what you'd start to do if we prayed here. And everything started shaking. You'd be going, hang on, is it an earthquake? What's going on? The place where they were meeting was shaken. They could feel it. I'm not one for basing your entire life on feelings, but guess what? God has given us feelings and he uses them. Not the weird stuff, oh, I feel this, and so I'm all twitchy. But actually, there was a physical manifestation of God. The place was shaken. They were all filled with the Spirit. Wow. Pretty good, isn't it? We're great Penties. We're great at saying it. Be being filled, but are we doing it? It's all right saying it. Mark said this morning, we need to be still. Sometimes in our own time at home, we need to be still. I don't know if you set a chair aside where specifically you sit and say, God, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting for you to do something. Because sometimes we're so busy with our petition, God only gets squeezed in on the last 2 minutes. Oh, I'll make some time for you, God. I've gone through my list now. Praying for Martin in hospital. Praying for Bethany. Praying for Tommy. Praying for Andy Moores because he needs it. We go through our list, though, don't we? We go through our list. If we're not careful, all we've done is actually go through a routine. Please don't get offended, but we might as well get our prayer mat out and face east if we're going to go through a routine. God's bigger than routine. You need to spend time and say to God, I want you to fill me. I want to feel energized again and go out and feeling I can do anything. Do you have those days? The Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Possible. That difficult situation, if you're full of the Spirit, maybe you can say to the fig tree, right, you, no more fruit from you, according to my word. Or maybe you can say, the one that, you know, it threatens me to death, according to my word, for the next 3.5 years, there'll be no rain. Wow. Am I reading a different Bible, or have you read this stuff? Because that's what Elijah does. He says to King Ahab, I'll tell you what, Ahab, I'll show you how it works. Nothing will happen until I say so. No more out of the sky, because I'm controlling the weather via God. Wow. We need to get a bit bolder, folks. We need to get a bit bolder, but you see, in some ways, please forgive me, in some ways it's easy. If you're spending time with God and God speaks to you, it becomes easy. Apart from which, here's another one that'll help you. Did you realize you're not responsible for the outcome? God is. Because if you've got the ability to do all that, step forward, you're God. No, we're saying it's Him. But actually, I'm going to be obedient. And because of my obedience, you'll make something happen. That's how it works. Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. Sorry, I'm preaching at you this morning, please. It's just the way it is. Lastly, they spoke the word of God boldly. Wow. And again, they had a new church overnight, Mark. Another 5,000 got added. I don't know what's this in the space of 2 days. 8,000 saved. Pretty poor church, really. 8,000 in 2 days. Wow. Why? Because they responded to God and the supernatural took place and people went, we've never seen anything like this. Our nation is waiting to say, we've never seen anything like this. We're the ones we've got to deliver. Let me finish and just remind you of the believer's prayer. When they say, Sovereign Lord, is an interesting one. I'll leave you with this thought because I like to prod you and get you thinking. The Greek word used there is despot. Despotus in the Greek. We see a despot as a tyrant, but a despot is someone who has all the power and can do whatever he wants to do. And I tell you what, God can do whatever he wants to do. Just by his grace, he chooses not to blast us into eternity, because that's what we deserve. But he sent his son so that he's made a way and we don't get that. What's your response when you're in difficult times? Their response was prayer, the Bible, to ask for help, and then God responded. Thank you for listening.